Just as a slight introduction, when it comes to laws of mourning, of avelut, generally I tell people that there is a combination of Torah law, which, by the way, is very, very rare, and let's just say we can argue on that point. There's some rabbinic law, there's lots of custom, and then there's two other issues, superstition and guilt. And those are always important elements in our lives. What we're going to start with today, and here's really the issue. The issue is, how does the leap year impact or affect the yahrzeit? So, theoretically, this question will impact anybody, let's say this year, if somebody lost a parent, let's just say for argument's sake, in the first day of Tishrei. By the time you get to the first day of Tishrei next year, you will have gone past 13 months to get back to that same point. The reason you have 13 months is because you have an extra month in the middle. So how does that extra month in the middle impact upon the yahrzeit? So that's really the question. We'll start with the teaching, which you'll see very quickly is quoted by, aside from the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef, it's quoted by a number of other Rishonim in Ashkenaz. So as far as I can tell, the first one to say this was the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah you see in source number one, Rav Elazar ben Rav Yoel Halevi, was born in 1140 in Mainz. So that's, again, that's relatively early. And he writes the following. Al kol hameitim nichnas lebeit hamishteh, Sorry. Lebeta simcha la'achar shloshim yom. Which means that for all relatives, with the exception of parents, with all relatives, one is allowed to go back to the Beta Simcha, to some celebratory event, after 30 days. The alaviv imo la'achar shneim asar chodesh. When it comes to parents, so then the mourning continues on for 12 months. And we all know that there are certain elements of mourning which are 7 days. We know that there are certain elements of mourning which are 30 days and certain elements of mourning which are 12 months. Even though the 7 days is really never 7 days, and which goes back to this issue of mourning not necessarily being a Torah law or rabbinic law, because we have a principle which is called Miktzat Hayom Kichulo. Miktzat Yom Kikulo means that part of the day is already considered like the whole day. So therefore, theoretically, if there was a funeral yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and they start to sit before Shiva, so it could be they sat for half an hour, so there's one day, right? So that would be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, and then you get to Tuesday morning again, a half an hour in the morning, and again you say Miktzat Yom Kikulo. So suddenly, 7 days get reduced down into into 5 days. But you know, Shabbos, I'm still counting. You count Shabbos, you count anyway, even though there's not public signs of mourning. But this idea of Shiva, you know, in reality comes down to much less than that. Now, that's a little funny, Miktzat Yom Kikulo. I mean, have you ever heard of anybody who gets up on Shabbos morning, daven, and say, okay, I already fulfilled Shabbos, Miktzat Yom Kikulo, so now I can drive because I already had part of the day. So obviously you're not going to say that. So why over here by morning do we say Miktzat Yom Kikulo? So again, without getting into any complicated halach logic, I'm just going to rely on a very simple fact, and what's that? That we're not dealing with the Torah law over here. Once you're not dealing with the Torah law, then it's going to have all kinds of other parameters to it. Okay, so over here, when the 30 days are up, what does the Rav Yah say? Something which is probably not any surprise to any of us. He says, when the 30 days are up, so then the person can then again go to the Beit Simcha, because there's no more mourning. That's for a generic relative. Then he writes, Va'al aviv imo lachu shtei meser chodesh, it's 12 months. V'nirli, he writes, Tehu adin, it seems to me that would be the same thing if it were a leap year. Now, first of all, what's interesting about this, again, as far as I can tell, and as far as the way that the Rishonim and the Achronim deal with it, there's no Gemara that talks about this. So the Rav Yehuda is really the first one to point something out. And again, you can tell me he's the first one to point it out because no one had to point it out because it was just patently obvious. But what is the point that he makes? He says that in a leap year, what do you need? Do you need a full year or do you need 12 months? How do you know you need 12 months? How do you know you need 12 months? Right, exactly. We say Yud Bet Chodesh. It could be that in people's minds, oh, it's a year of mourning, but no. In none of the sources does it call it a year of mourning. What does it call it? It calls it 12 months. So if it's 12 months, so now you've already have the solution to the question that we started with. What's the solution? The solution is that how long does a person need to mourn in a leap year? So the answer is 12 months. So therefore, even though the person may have passed away on the first day of Kislev, because there were two Adars, you count 12 months, and what day do you get up to when you count 12 months? You get to actually, not even the first day of Cheshvan necessarily, right? You get to the last day, right? The last day of Tishrei, and the 12 months is at that point complete. So now you'll also point out to me, hold it, but what happens on the Yahrzeit then? Because normally what happens in 12 months, you have the whole 12 months, and that leads right into the Yahrzeit. So over here, it doesn't lead right into the Yahrzeit, so that's really where our question begins. But the Rav Yehuda says, venerally, again, it seems to him, doesn't really even consider another possibility, de'im ha'shanah mu'uberet midelo nakat shana, 12 months would be enough. I'll just read the continuation over here, which is not really what we're supposed to be talking about today, but it's interesting nonetheless. Veloshna l'simchat nisuin, veloshna l'simchat mereyut shel arisuta shehi mitchila v'hu ke'in hilu halva'a aval lipruuna sheporeya ma shesoed kvar imo muter l'kenes la'altar shemuchuyav hu l'froa. Which means he says that it doesn't make a difference once that you allow the person to attend these things, it doesn't make a difference if it's a simchat nisuin or just a general expression of happiness. But to go to something where really you have to pay them back, as it were, which means it seems to be this perception that somebody invites you and you have to invite them. I don't know if you ever deal with such things. So he says that may be a little different than other types of invitations. But I'll leave that issue, and let's go on to source number two, which really just echoes source number one. This is the Mordechai. Katav haravya, dehodim rinu al avivim yo, eina nechnas lebeit ha-mishteh ad yud bet chodesh, diafilum haita shana muberet, dain lenu b'yud bet chodesh, midik tani yud bet chodesh, v'lok tani shana. Again, the exact same thing is that we always talk about yud bet chodesh, we never talk about a year, so that should seem to be pretty obvious. Applies.
What did you say?
To apply. He then writes, V'davka l'sudat chupa aval lelech l'birkat ha'erisin u'l'birkat nisuin mutar miyad achar shiv'a. Which is some of you may find interesting. Why? He says, Sharei ein shem shum simcha. How does he define simcha? Lo rikud velo shum kipuach v'schok. V'ravan katav l'achar shloshim dafka velo natan tamud v'rav. So he's saying, as far as he can tell, you can't go to a thing of simcha. What's a thing of simcha? He's defining it as a wedding. But as I said, this is really more for the general issue. The Maharami Wurttemberg in source number three writes the same. He quotes the Rav Yahu, who is his teacher, Rabbi Aviha Ezri, Katav, Dehadim Rinan al Aviv Imo, in a Nechnas Lebet HaSimcha, Ad Yud Bet Chodesh, Deafilum Haita Shana Muberet, Dai Lo Be Yud Bet Chodesh, Midiktani Yud Bet Chodesh, Velo Ketani Shana. It doesn't say. Ketani means over here, it's not written. Ketani as taught. It's not taught a year. Vidafka Lesudat Simcha, Avalech Lebrechat Nesuin, Brechat Eresin, Mutar Miyad Lacha Sheva, Shere Ein Sham Shum Simcha, Velo Rikud, Velo Tipuach. Rabbi Amin katav achas shel shem dafka lo natan tam l'dvarav. So again, it's very interesting that you see some of these Rishonim saying quite innocently that the only thing that they're really concerned about is actually a wedding and other kinds of things they're not as concerned about. Yeah.
Would it make a difference that nowadays the Erusin and the Erusin take place the same day? At the same ceremony, basically.
Right, right. But even other kinds of celebrations. Look. There's also a flip side to this. That today a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah celebration often could be indistinguishable from a wedding in terms, or even more music and dancing that they had by weddings 200 years ago. So it's also sometimes it's a little difficult to take the psak at face value. I've been to Brit where there's like a band or something else, which I'm sure did not happen all that often in Vermeiza. The Shulchan Aruch writes, source number 4, and this is the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea. Al kol meitim nechnas lebeit hamishteh la'achar 30 yom. Al aviv v'imo la'achar yud bet chodesh. Okay, here he calls it Beit HaMishteh. What's the difference between Beit Mishteh versus Beit Simcha? Apparently alcohol. That's why it's called Mishteh, from drinking. Va'af im ha'shanam uberet, mutar la'achar yud bet chodesh. So here you see that he rules clearly, like the Rav Yah, as quoted by the Mordechai, as quoted by the Maharal Rutenberg, and so on. That he says is the halacha. That means it is not a year, rather it is yud bet chodesh. No, it doesn't mean that. No. It means a party of celebration. That's what it means. No, it's really much more than just alcohol. It's also it's also the music and the dancing and so on and so forth. That's what they're talking about. Right, and again, he says, "Mi usimchat mi reut shahaya chayev lefro oto miyad." Again, you have to pay the person back. Mutel asot miyad achar shiva. Although meinu chayev lefro asuli kanes la ad yom ad shloshim. So he does accept that Ravan. Vivi imo afal pisha chayev lefro asur ad laach yud bet chodesh. And there's a lot more to talk about that issue. The differences between Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, the Ramah brings certain things. The Shach. We're not going to get into that whole topic now. The Taz writes the achyud bet chodesh katav betur. So now you see why I kept getting back to this point of the Beit HaMishteh. In the two clauses, in all the sources we've seen, it says there is avedlet this amount of time, shloshim, yud bet chodesh, and so on, and then the person can't participate in simcha. So now let's go back to our question that we really started with. What happens in this year, which is a leap year, where the person, the Yom Ptira, is on the first day of Kislev? He counts 12 months. What does he get up to? The last day of Tishrei. At that point, he can go to Beit HaMishteh. At that point, he can go to weddings or whatever. Kaddish, by the way, which is normally said for 11 months. So when would Kaddish stop? Right. So Kaddish already would stop prior to this. But the Avelut still exists till the full 12 months. You can go to weddings and so on and so forth. And then the Yahrzeit comes around. So what happens by this Yahrzeit? And here's basically the question. Is this Yahrzeit the same law as any other Yahrzeit? Which you can now say to me, well, what law exists by the Yahrzeit? Or does this Yahrzeit still have any kind of elements of Avelut? Which means, does Avelut somehow go all the way till the Yahrzeit, or not necessarily? So that's really the question that gets dealt with. And let's look how the Taz deals with that. La'achu yud bet chodesh, kotav betur, va'afim ha'shanam uberet mashma da'achu yud bet chodesh, hefsik legamri Avelut. So what's he stressing now? There is no more Avelut at that point. And how does he know this? Because they're allowed to go to a Beit Mishteh at that point. Vitamhani, and he says, I'm really shocked at the behavior of certain people. It's very surprising. Vitamhani, al sheyesh anashim nohagim ktsat avelut gam bechodesh hashlosh esrei. Now, before I go any further, you can well imagine why there would be people who would still have laws of Avelut in that 13th month. Or you can't imagine.
Is this only during the leap year?
Yes. Yes. Can you imagine why that would be?
Psychological, because the date is the relevant thing that you remember.
Right. The Yahrzeit hasn't come yet. And as far as they're concerned, their year is not up. Now you tell them, but there's no such thing as a year. There's 12 months. What do they respond?
Okay, so
you remember what I said from the beginning? Is that the laws of Avilut have what components to them? There's certain Torah laws, there's certain rabbinic laws, there's lots of customs, lots of superstition, and lots of guilt. And over here, again, Vitamhani, he writes, Vitamheti, I'm really surprised. Al Shayesh Anashim Noagim Ktsat Avilut Gam Bechodesh Shloshes Rei. May Ein Lahim Davar Zeh. He goes, I don't know where they get this from, and this is really something which is, as far as he's concerned, it's absurd. So, what do we learn from this Taz? We learn that by Yud Bet Chodesh, the Avilut is up, and it doesn't make a difference what rabbis say sometimes. Right? That's what we see. The Shach echoes the same thing, Yud Bet Chodesh, Avafim Shenamu Beret. So again, I do want to point that this is basically a universal perspective, and it doesn't make a difference because we will keep on finding, as much as I don't know how much we want to look today, but we will keep on finding people bringing these opinions that other people do act differently, even though nobody can figure out why. I know why they do it, because it's psychological. The year's not up. But there seems to be zero halachic basis for it. But then again, go tell somebody who's convinced that the year isn't up and you're not going to get all that far. Because you can tell them it's allowed. It doesn't make a difference. They still don't feel like going to a wedding or they don't feel like doing anything because they didn't get to the yard site yet. Yeah.
What about the wedding itself or the ceremony and so on? We had a case in our family where the groom was a month or so after his mother's death. They had the wedding with all the music and so on. Is that the solution or is there anything?
There are other solutions. Other solutions is that you have music. And it could be that certain relatives that have difficulty with it would walk outside for the music. To attend the chuppah itself is not a problem. The couple themselves is also, he's allowed to get married, there's allowed to be music. Marianne, why don't you say something?
What about the date itself?
Okay, so that's still, we left that open, that we still need to get to. Next, let's read a question and answer by the Trumat Hadeshin. Trumat Hadeshin, Rabbi Yisrael ben Petachia Israelin, 1390, 1460. I've told you about his book before, the Trumat Hadeshin. It's a book of Shilot and Tshuvot, right? Response literature. The only thing is he made up all the questions. He didn't wait. Why wait for people to ask questions? People don't ask good questions, right? Right, so he wrote his own book of questions and answers. Sheila. Here's the question. Echad meit lo aviv uimo b'rosh chodesh Nisan. Okay? So what's the date? Rosh chodesh Nisan. Kishyagi acharav kafted adar, right? And then afterwards, the following year, we get up to kafted adar. What has now happened by kafted adar? The 12 months is up, right? Do you all understand why that is? Why the 12 months are up? When a person's bar mitzvah, you know how it's always referred to in literature, and this drives people crazy because they can't figure it out. It's always referred to as Ben Yud. When are you bar mitzvah? When you're Ben Yud Gimel v'yom echad. So why is it Ben Yud Gimel v'yom echad? You say, no, Ben Yud Gimel.
Because like it wouldn't be on.
Because when do you complete your year? You complete the year. You complete the 13th year the day before your bar mitzvah. So when are you bar mitzvah? When you're 13 and a day. What date is that when you're 13 and a day? That's your birthday. Right? Your birthday, you're 13 and a day. You complete the 13 years a day before. Is that. One second. Is that clear? Is that clear? I want to start with part of the day again. When on your birthday, you're not 1 year old. You're 1 year and a day. You're 1 year old on the day before your birthday.
It's like the business we had with the centennial.
Right. So let's not argue mathematics with anybody because we're not going to convince them. I'm telling you, there have been people that I've tried to explain this to 13 a day. No, you're 13 today. No, it's 13 in a day. And that's the way it's always referred to in rabbinic literature. 13 in a day, 12 in a day, and so on and so forth.
All birthdays.
So that means that February 11th is not my birthday. I have to wait until the 12th.
No.
No, the other way around. On the 10th, you complete the year. The day before, you complete the year. The next day. Was that subtle enough? Was that? No, her Hebrew birthday was last week. Right. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue. Does that mean you want a cake? Does that mean you want a cake on Friday night?
Not necessary.
Not necessary. Okay. Anybody want to give me the Rashi on that? Not necessary. I know. Okay, so I guess that was a subtle enough hint. Yeah, birthday is an Adar in the second Adar, not in the first Adar. Okay, let's continue. He was born in Adar Aleph. He was born in Adar Aleph. Okay, let's continue. We will figure this out. Let's continue. So the Trumas Hadeshin, or for some of you, the Trumat Hadeshin, writes, She'ela, Echad meit lo aviv o imo b'rosh chodesh nisan, kishiyagia acherav kafter adar, what happens on kafter adar? The yud bet chodesh is finished on kafter adar. Okay? V'nohag din avilut t'shnei masa chodesh b'miktsar oto hayom. Which means he's saying that we have a principle of Miktzar Yom Kikulo by the last day of Shiva. So now on the last, now on this day, Kaf Tet Adar, should we also say Miktzar Hayom, and therefore his Avelut would be over in the beginning of that particular day? That's the question that he so far. Right. Yeah. The issue with the Truman Adeshin will not be what he says, but will be how it will be employed in terms of his answers. Tshuva, answer. Yira de lo kalu lo adayin. It seems to me that the Yud Bet Chodesh are not up yet. Now, by the way, that's interesting. Why is it interesting? Because it is up already. Now we all realize that on that last day, it really is. V'tzarech l'nhog kol din avilut Yud Bet Chodesh ad shekanes rosh chodesh nisan. No, he has to wait for the next day. I didn't say yes or no.
Because if it's 12 months, so it's from Aleph Nisan till the end of...
So, right, so then why wait for the next day? Why wait for the next... No, one second. Read what he said again. Read, V'tzarech l'nhol kol din avilut yud bet chodesh, ad shekanes rosh chodesh nisan, v'kfar atziti lomar v'chein horeti, and I wanted to say, and I even ruled, pam echad, dekal lo biyom shemashlim lo, shnei masach chodesh, dehainu kaftet adar. He goes, I once actually gave a ruling on this. So really what he's admitting now is that I don't want to say the word got confused, but he tortured himself a little bit on this question. And again, it's really a mathematical question, that if I say Yud Bet Chodesh, I need Yud Bet Chodesh, so it should have ended on the 29th of Adar. Why wait for the next day? So let's continue.
The night. You're saying 12 months.
The night of it.
Right.
That's
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right.
So, so before you go,
the 12 months,
okay. Why did it start on Rosh Chodesh? Right. So what's significant is the fact that the next day is the Yahrzeit. That's really the question that he's dealing with now. What is the relationship from the yard site to the end of Yud Bet Chodesh? That's the question what's the matter? Because mathematically, the Yud Bet Chodesh will be over in Kaf Tet. Now, it happens to be that the next day, including even, doesn't make a difference, but it happens to be the next day is the yard site. So the question is, what's the relationship between a yard site and between the end? And if you want, I'll add one more element into it. What happens in the first year if the person died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but wasn't buried till 1 or 2 or 3 days later? So then on the first year, when is the Yud Bet Chodesh over? Is the Yud Bet Chodesh over on the day of the Yahrzeit, or is the Yud Bet Chodesh over on Yud, right, when 12 months are up? Okay, so good. So just to keep this, Right, so just to keep this a little more interesting, let's keep that element in mind as well. Right, I did want to say that it really should be over on the 29th of Adar. V'amar, or V'amarti, Bahu yoma miktzad yom kikulo. And if that's the case, I should say miktzad yom kikulo. And therefore, according to the present logic that he's working with, what should you now say? In the seventh day, you say you need 7 days. In the seventh day, you say miktzad yom kikulo. So the end of Yud Bet Chodesh, perhaps you should say miktzad yom kikulo. Therefore, you get to the morning of the 29th of Adar, and say now 12 months are over. Which means in the afternoon he can go to a wedding. But now what happens the next day? The next day is the Yahrzeit. So now, how does the Yahrzeit relate to the 12 months? So that's, by the way, now you realize why a lot of this is theoretical. Even though he did say that he gave this ruling at one time, he then continues and says, I mean, we say Miksad Yom Kikulo by the seventh and by the third, by Shloshim. Why not say it here? Achar kach nityashavti Lidavar, the lo dami liyom shvi v'shloshim, because then afterwards I changed my mind, it's really not comparable. The shvi v'shloshim hatama sfira hi lefi ayamim. 7 days or 30 days are days. So what do you say by days? You can mix it yom kikulo, because then days are the currency, right? Over here, v'kaimelim become a milim to mix yom kikulo, and therefore then you could say mix yom kikulo. Avagabi avelut yud bet chodesh de lo iskiu b'shum makom. We don't say that a person has Avelut 354, which is a lunar 12 months, which is, we don't say 354 days, because you said 354 days, then maybe you can say Miktzad Yom Kikulo. But we're counting 12 Chodesh. So see, it's interesting, because this is really the flip side. He'll get to that in a second. This is really the flip side of what we saw earlier, right? By the Ravya. How so? Because he said it's 12 months and not a year. And he's saying, yeah, it's 12 months and not days, which means they're both pointing out it's 12 months, but comparing it to two different things. Okay? Well, that we'll get into still, what those are. And maybe it's not laws, maybe they're customs. So that's also what we'll need to get to in a moment. Okay, veloshinun dalad yamim, v'kevan da hasfira hi lefi hachodashim, since we're counting months, I hav amrina miksat kikulam havishari b'tchila chodesh yudbet. If that's the case, then I shouldn't have to get to the end of the 12th month, I should get to the beginning of the 12th month. Right? Miksat hachodesh kikulo. Right? And by the beginning of the month. V'havadai leita, and that's certainly not the case. V'lokach lokalu, they're not finished, Ad shikanes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they're not finished until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which means he's saying you need a full 12 months, and it leads then right into the day of the Yahrzeit itself. No. I know that. I know that someone would think that, but no. The reason you only say Chodesh for 11 months is brought down because we say that a person's being judged for 12 months, and we want to assume that our parents are not really sinners that needed a full 12 months, so therefore it's 11. But it's not because of a miktzad ayom, it's rather because of some kind of respect for the parents. The ha'olam noagin, the afilu b'rosh chodesh nisan ko'otar ayom ein mevat lid mehen din avelut yud bet chodesh. So now he adds, but what do people do? What is actual custom? Not just not ending it earlier on the 29th of Adar, he says people will go all the way through the Yahrzeit day itself. L'kach noagin inyan avilut b'oto ayom, and that's the reason why there's avilut in Yom, which by the way was, I skipped a line, v'efshar, and he goes, maybe the reason is, mishum de'amrinim kadishu baruchu metanin de'yom shemet bo avivhu, l'kach noagin inyan avilut b'oto ayom. And now he throws out a theory. Maybe it's because the Avel on that day will, and he lists a couple of things, say Kaddish, say Baruch Hu, which would go together, and fast on that day. And therefore, for them, it really is a day of Avelut. Okay. Which, by the way, would be interesting in this particular case. Would the person really, I mean, Kaddish perhaps, but would he fast being that it's Rosh Chodesh? Or for that matter, if it came on Shabbat? Or for that matter, what happens with people who don't say Kaddish, for example, women, and so on and so forth. So we'll see some others dealing with this afterwards. Avol min adin ein tzrichin elam miyad shenichnas hayom la'acha kalot yud b'chodesh mutarim, v'gam nafka min alami shemit aneva omer kaddish u baruch u b'yom amitah, v'hu met hayom v'nikvar l'machar, He goes, but I do admit that there would be some other complications, such as, what if the Yom Ptirah is on this day while the person was buried a couple of days later, and then he admits that everything will get more complicated without really dealing with it. He just made that admission. The Beit Yosef in source number 8 basically quotes, without adding or subtracting anything from the Truman Adeshin. The Bach, in source number 9, the Bach is one of the there's a book called the Tur. The Tur is the first Shulchan Aruch, as it were, written in that pagination or orders or sections. The Tur is the son of the Rush. There are two major commentaries on the Tur, aside from the notes that the Rama wrote on it, that we'll leave for the moment. It's also a major commentary. The other ones are the Beit Yosef, who's the Mechaber, and the Bach. The Bach, by the way, is the father-in-law of the Taz, and he already, earlier when I quoted the Taz, he did make reference to the Bach. Let's take a look. Source number 9. Pasak Beit Yosef, Kimo Shekatu B'Trum Adeshin, which means the Beit Yosef followed Trum Adeshin here, and he said, D'mi Shemet Aviv B'Rosh Kodesh Nisan, Lo Sagi B'Nog Avilut B'Mikset Yom Kav Ted Adar, She'acharav, El Tzarech L'Nog Avilut Ad Shikanes Rosh Kodesh Nisan, V'Katav Od, D'Nagu Lo'osif עוד כל אותו היום שמת בו אביו לנהוג בו דין 12 חודש, וכתב בזה שני טעמים. Meaning that even though the 12 months are over and the next day is the yahrzeit, they still keep the laws of Avelut, so therefore now it comes out the laws of Avelut are not 12 months, but the 12 months in a day. Okay? And he gives two reasons. טעם אחד משום דאומר בו קדיש וברוך הוא מתנה בו, לקח נוגן אבלות באותו יום. One is because the person has some experience of mourning on that day by saying Kaddish and fasting and so on. L'fizeh ha'yanira d'im chal b'shabbat kev de'eno mitaneh af al pi de'omer Kaddish ein lahachmir. V'kol shkein b'isha de'eno merit Kaddish de'en la linhog avilut kishakachal b'shabbat l'fi tamzeh. He goes, therefore, it's interesting because he's saying it's only all of these things together. I could have said the opposite. I could have just said the fact the person saying Kaddish and no other reason is enough for the person to have some kind of feelings of Avelut. Or the fact that the person's fasting. He's saying, no, somebody's not saying Kaddish or somebody's not fasting, whatever reason. At that point, then just forget about the laws of Avelut. Now, why is he so quick to throw it away? What's the reason? Because it really doesn't make so much sense to have any laws of Avelut. Why? Because they should have been over the day before. So over here you see the Bach is, in a sense, he's showing his hand by telling us the truth is we don't know why there should be Avilut on that day. Now, I still appreciate the question. So what are the laws of yahrzeit? So aside from lighting a candle, so we're leaving that still. Avokatav otam sheni, but he gave another reason as well. Dehecha demitanev, sorry, was that... Yeah. He goes, but in the case where the yahrzeit, again, we're talking certainly the first year, where the yahrzeit is the day that they died, but they weren't buried till the next day, so then, of course, you still need to keep the laws of Yud Bet Chodesh. Why? Because they're not up yet. Because the Yud Bet Chodesh goes from, again, when does Shiva start? From the day the person died or from the burial? It starts from the burial. So when does Shloshim start? From the burial. When does Yud Bet Chodesh start? From the burial. So over here, he's saying, but in the case where the person was not buried the same day, which, by the way, well, once you think about it, is far more often than not, he says, if that's the case, so of course when you got up to the yahrzeit itself, you should still have dinei avelut. Why? Because you didn't finish the Yud Bet Chodesh yet. Just because you got to the yahrzeit doesn't mean that you finished the Yud Bet Chodesh. Okay?
But what, okay, that just takes you to the
yahrzeit
day. What if it's 2 days later?
Right. You're already going into the... Right. Uven ishu ben ishet tzarech lenhog avelut kol. I don't know why there's an e got in there. V'hachin aktinu l'chumr b'nei kavod aviv imo. So he just now added another element in it that, again, Yud Bet Chodesh is only a law by parents, and he goes, by parents, so then we will be careful this extra day, and, right, because of also this consideration of Kibbut Avayim. Mir Nira, Tikishashanam Uberet. So you were wondering why we got into this whole topic. So now we find that it's the Bach who now merged these two issues, our Shonim Uberet problem that we started with, and this issue of how you figure out what the Yortzeit day or when Yud Bet Chodesh is over, he writes, Mi Nira, Dikisha Shonim Uberet, that in a case where there is a leap year, D'mutar likanes lebeit ha-mishteh la'acha shneim asah chodesh, k'de el reish simen shen tzadi aleph, as we've already seen, as eino higdin shneim asah chodesh b'yom shemet bo aviv, af al pi shomer kadishu baruch hu mitanebo b'yom. D'ma'acha d'kfar nechnas le'mishteh v'hivsik me'aviluto, shuv eino chozer la'aviluto. So what did he just now say? He said, everything we've read till now will only make sense in a year which is not a leap year. But in a leap year, he says, let's consider now what happens. The Yud Bet Chodesh is over when? Now, again, let's get back to the classic case. And then you'll appreciate why he's bringing this in over here. The classic case is going to be where the person died and was buried in the same day. 12 months later, the Yud Bet Chodesh will be over the day before the Yortzeit. The logic of the Truma Deshen was sort of let it go into the next day as well, was what? Well, the next day is also some kind of an Avelut, because the person's fasting, the person's saying Kaddish, and so on. So he has it slipping into the next day. So now, the Bach is coming and saying, okay, that's well and good, when it was just one day. But what happens when you actually did stop the Avelut because it was a month before? He says at that point, now you can get the sense that the Bach is really ignoring everything the Truma Deshen, or he'll just say Truma Deshen doesn't apply in this case. He's saying, if the Avelut was over and the person already entered into the Beit HaMishteh, as it were, and the person is allowed to go to wedding at this point, so what logic is there then to have any Dine Avelut flow into the Yortzeit day, because the Yortzeit day is separate by at least a month over here. And I'll read it again. He goes, Mi unir de geshenem uberen de mutar lekenes lebeit ha-mishteh la'achar shneim asah chodesh, kede el bereish simen shin tzadi aleph, az ein nahug din shneim asah chodesh b'yom shemet bo aviv, af al pi shomer kadesh baruch hu mitanebo b'yom, de me'achar de kfar nechnas le'mishteh v'hivsik me'aviluto, shuv einu chozer la'aviluto. Once the Avilut is broken, it's broken. Once it's over, it's over. Ukeinin zekotav Ramban, bedin mitzera yom kikulo, and so on and so forth. And he brings other sources. So now you understand that the Bach is saying that to answer our question, Yud Bet Chodesh in the leap year is over after 12 months. What happens in that interim time? Nothing. Yud Bet Chodesh is over. What about the fact that he didn't get to the Yortzeit yet? Okay, you didn't get to the Yortzeit yet. And that Yortzeit is not... Correct. Which means it's not directly connected to the Avelut. The Avelut is broken, and that's all.
That he didn't say.
He said quite the opposite. He said, even if you do fast, there's no din of Avelut. By the way, one of the issues would be, is the person allowed to go to a wedding? Are you allowed to go to a wedding? So that we'll see. That will say. Right. What he's saying is that there's no longer Yud Bet Chodesh. You're not within the laws of Yud Bet Chodesh. It's and you're correct in saying it's a Yortzeit like any other Yortzeit. Correct. Shach. V'nagulos if afilu chal oto hayom b'Shabbat nohag din Yud Bet Chodesh kenu b'Truma Deshen miu k'sheshenamu beret d'motar l'kenes l'beit ha-mishtalach Yud Bet Chodesh ein nohag din Yud Bet Chodesh b'yom shemei po aviv ava o'eim.
So you see, just a continuation of that. Kach katzav Bach. He basically quotes the Bach directly on that. V'nira dahainu dafka b'shar minei avelut. And then he says, that's regarding general things of avelut. And here is a chumra of the Shach. Aval le'echol b'su'udat shel simcha u'mishteh asur b'kol shana b'yom shemet bo av'eim k'dekatav harav l'kamen. So he says, but nonetheless, one is not supposed to eat by a suda of a mishteh, simcha simcha, on the day that one's parents passed away. By the way, I saw later shelot and shuvot saying, are you allowed to attend a wedding? What would you say based on this?
No, based on this.
Yeah. So they said yes. He didn't say you can't attend, he said you can't eat. I know that sounds very funny, but it comes back to the same point. We're not dealing with a fundamental isser. We're dealing with the chumrah. We're dealing with the custom. So the question is where and how the custom applies. And even though the shach seems to say no, that there is this custom, others are not necessarily going as far.
Sheva Brachas was full of people from Montreal, and I had come on Aliyah more than 20 years before that. My cousins introduced me to all these people there. You remember Rona Lewittis, her father was Rabbi Lewittis from Montreal, and everyone had something good to say about my father.
Oh, that's your father?
And I came up from that Sheva Brachas.
I knew your father.
Pardon me?
I knew your father.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I came up with such a good feeling that I said, that was so much to spend my father's life.
You have to go back and ask your brother if he knew about the shach. Because he
knew about it, but it's
no. You didn't say it's a chumrah. I said it's a chumrah. But you have to ask him if he knew about the shach, because it's not exactly a chumrah that somebody made up last week. I'm saying the shach brings this down. But as I said, I've already seen Shailot and Shuvot deal with it and say, okay, he says you can't eat. Again, why are they being so literal over here? Because if it were like a Torah law, so then it's not a question of literally following. Over here, he's talking about, again, it can only be...
Is there a canon of asking the mother, like the staff, the
I'm not...
No, I understand. And you're, what I'm saying is that...
I don't know. I don't know. But again, look at the words he says here. V'nirli d'ano dafka b'shamini ha've'ilut av'ala echol b'su'udah shel simcha u'mishteh asur. So what did he say is not allowed? Lechol. Did he say that you can't attend? No, he did not say you can't attend. So if you would have asked me, what I would have said, even to follow the shach over here, you can go to the Sheva Brachot, just don't eat.
Well, he said
he'd get
everybody there from your side, so of
course he wouldn't. He may, but it seems to be to eat, it seems to be a question of, again, even the fasting, okay, we'll see in a second, it's even the night before. Okay, let's continue. Look at the Taz in 11. Again, the Taz is the son-in-law of the Bach. Lo sif ad yom shemeit, bitur rabbi simin reish tamaybe, katav atam, mishum dabrin kadesh u barachu, mitanin bo, sorry, not lo tur rabbi, bitur medeshen katav atam, mishum dabrin kadesh u barachu, mitanin bo, di yom mitahu, v'lachay nogin inyan v'lut ba'oto yom ad kan l'shono. U'lefi ze afilu ad olam, kol yortzeit, if you wondered how do you spell it, kol yortzeit, shalo, hu adin kain. What's that? Moach? Umori v'chami, my revered father-in-law. Zal, katav de'im hashana mu'uberet mutar likanes lebeit hamishteh la'acher yud bet chodesh kide'el. Va'az einog din yud bet chodesh biyom shemet bo aviv v'afal pi shemetaneh bo kevin de'kfar nechnas lemishteh v'vsik aviluto shuv einu chozeh lebeito ad chan l'shon yisor v'tmum dvarav. The had olam tzarich linhog kain biyom yeretzed shelo v'kachot v'rama siman tov bed siman shelo olam ein leachol besuda b'layla shel yom yeretzed. Right, so here he quotes the Rama on this. The Rama says again, this is not just some chumrah. The Rama says that even the night before the yeretzed, which means it's the same calendar day as the yeretzed already, the Rama already brings ein leachol besuda b'layla shel yom yeretzed. V'katav b'levush u'laybim komol sharaman nahagu kain ki berov ha'makamot shavarti l'ra'iti nahagot kain. So over here, it's interesting, because as I told you before, it's not just that the shach says it, the Rama says it. On the other hand, levush. Now, if there's anybody who is of, a stature which is a similar stature to the Rama is... For whatever reason, and the reason it's because he responded to the Beit Yosef, he responded to the Shulchan Aruch, so the Rama became one of the most important codifiers or deciders of law in Ashkenaz, but if there's anybody who's of an equal stature or similar stature, it's the Levush, who, by the way, didn't write a commentary to him. He just wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. He wrote his own Shulchan Aruch, the Levush. And he had the bad luck of the Rama, he had the bad luck of, in terms of publishing, that the Shulchan Aruch of Rav Yosef Karo got much better market share together with the notes of the Rama on it. And the Levush just never really got published, as far as I know, in that same book. I have a separate book of the Levush, which goes Siman by Siman. And he really is quite authoritative as well. Levush over here says on this Rama, it's very nice the Rama says this is the custom. I have one problem. What's that? I never saw this custom. So over here, this is the reason why I said before it's a custom. Right? Because I'm then relying on the Levush. So I would then go even further and say, if somebody comes and tells me, listen, my custom is I don't go to a wedding or I don't go to any kind of simcha on the day of a yahrzeit, so then, but I have a wedding this year, so what would I say to them? Exactly. I would say, why would I say that? But why would I say that? Why would I say that? Because then I'm following what it says. On the other hand, if somebody says, I never heard of this thing about not going to a simcha, but I'm invited and somebody told me I shouldn't go, so what should I do? Then I would say, okay, you can follow Levush. Levush also never heard of this. So, no, why am I taking this approach? Because generally we have a principle when it comes to the laws of Avelut, you follow the lenient opinion. Why? This is really an extension of the idea of Suffolk deraita lechumra, Suffolk derabanan lekula. Over here, it's not even a Suffolk derabanan. It's even less than that. So over here, once there's a machloket, you can rely on the easier. But if a person's custom is the stringent one, so then I'm not saying, okay, be lenient against your custom. That's already more difficult. Did that any of that make any sense? Well, you're not going to be rabbis yet. Okay, you know what? Don't try this at home. Okay.
Anyone strict about the 13th one? No one keeps
Avelut. A lot of people quote it. I mean, if you just want to see, for example, you have people who find it laughable. I mean, if you look at source 27, in the second paragraph, Tshuva hara'azu mivya lidei gichuch. Sorry, 17. Tshuva hara'azu mivya lidei gichuch. This thing that you're quoting, it makes me laugh. I mean, they find it laughable. But it's been quoted about, again, and it keeps showing up again. People say, oh, no, I heard that there is such a custom. They say, what custom? The only one I can figure it out is the people said there's no such custom. So these things that people keep saying there's no such custom keeps making its way back. Let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch, source number 12. This is in the laws of fasting. Okay, this is not in the laws of Avelut anymore. We've moved over to the laws of fasting. And here we find, the Mechaber writes, Ein tzarech latanot ela biyom mitat aviv velo biyom kfura. So here he brings that there is a custom of fasting. What is the custom of fasting, he says? It's the fasting on the day of the yahrzeit and not on the day of the kfura. Mishneh Berurah writes in source 14, there's another long taz over here, which is similar to the taz we saw in 11, but I think it will be a victim of triage. V'lo biyom kfura, the Mishneh Berurah writes in source 14, V'afilu b'shana rishona, sh'ha'avilut shel yud bet chodesh, matchila miyom ha'kfura. Afilu hachi, what's the next word? Oh, you're not there yet. Afilu hachi yortzeit. Afilu hachi yortzeit hu biyom hamita. V'lo mi boim yom hakfura haya l'macharat. I can try. Back from the beginning? From the beginning? Okay. Again. Again, v'lo biyom kfura, v'afilu b'shana rishona, even on a first year, sh'ha'avelut shel yud bet chodesh mitchelet miyom ha'kfura, that the Yud Bet Chodesh starts on the day of burial. Afilu hachi yortzeit hu biyom hamita v'lo miboi im yom hakvura haya l'machrat yom hamita da'oz nishlam Yud Bet Chodesh. Basically saying, you know, a yortzeit is yortzeit, right? And has nothing to do with Yud Bet Chodesh, which means, again, it's true that the Yud Bet Chodesh is not over until 12 months from the burial, but the yortzeit is the day of the actual Ptira. Exactly. Exactly. Especially if the burial were a couple days later. Shalavi Lurgam came be Yom Amita Atzma. Ella Afilu Haya Yom Hakfura Shnaim Oshlosha Yamim Achar Yom Hamita, the Aznim Shach HaAvelut Yud Bet Chodesh Achar Yom Hamita, which is exactly what you just now raised. Mikoma Koma Yortzeit LaOlum BiYom Hamita Kavinan, because it's always on Yom Hamita. VeYesh Omrim Dezesh Yom Kfura Nimshach Eze Yom Yomaim LaAchar Yom Hamita Kavinan Yortzeit B'Shana Rishona Gam Ken BiYom Hakfura Avol B'Shar Shnim Kuliyam Yikva BiYom Hamita. And here he brings a second opinion. What's the second opinion? That when it comes to the first, meaning the yortzeit is always the yortzeit and not the yom hakfura. But he's saying, but it may nonetheless be that in the first year, first of all, he says, in the first year there are those who will argue. In the first year there are those who will say the other way around, that even though in subsequent years the yortzeit is always going to be on the yom haptira, and you don't pay attention to the yom hakfura, but on the first year the yortzeit would nonetheless be commemorated on the Yom HaKfura. So here he actually, if you didn't notice, brought both opinions, which it's not terribly clear which one he thinks that you should follow. Let's look at Shar HaTzion 42, right afterwards, the next line. Shar HaTzion Simen Tufka Mem Bet, he writes, we follow most of the Achronim, which is the Shach El Yeraba, and not the Taz. Sorry, and the very next line, Shar HaTzion, the very next line. Shar HaTzion, Tovkuf Samachet, Sifka, and Mem Gimel now. Hachra'at El Yeraba, Bein HaTaz LaHashach, V'chein Hiskim Achai Adam, Umad Amrinim Shenim Shach Avilut Achar Yotzer, Dafke Kishay Yom HaKfura Achar Eze Yomim, Aval Im Yom HaKfura Lonit Acher, Rak Shehu Lo Shama Mimitat Aviv Rak Achar Eze Zman, L'kuli Almano Hoga Yud Bet Chodesh Shal Avilut Mi Yom Hamita. You caught that. He says that let's say a person finds out 6 months later, so then do they have to sit Shiva now? Well, there is some kind of, I won't say a full Shiva, there is some kind, but what about Yud Bet Chodesh? Does he count Yud Bet Chodesh from the day that he heard? He says, no, Yud Bet Chodesh comes from the day of, it's fine. Okay, let's take a look at one last source. Let's take a look. So basically, what you just now saw is that there really are two different opinions the Mishnah Berurah brings, and now you can imagine different poskim giving different opinions on that point regarding in the first year if the kfura is after the Yom Ptira by a couple of days, you realize now that there are different opinions as far as the yortzeit in the first year. Source number 6. If the Yud Bet Chodesh isn't up yet, then yes. Right. Source number 16 is the Shevet Sofer. He's a grandson of the Chatam Sofer. Michtavo higiani meir Hamburg shahu al derech kait misham nitbaser lo bisura lo tova ki meta imo ole shalom hashem yigdor pritzot emo biyom bet rosh chodesh kislev v'nikpura biyom shela acharav v'yan kahu irchok nidud mi bidatena lo nadalo ad rosh chodesh tevet v'lo amar kadish kol chodesh kol chodesh v'nafsho mistapek l'shol b'shtayim. He has two questions. So he heard about the passing of his mother a month later. Im yechol lomor kaddish ad yud bet chodashim, could he say it kaddish now for 11 months? We'll then take it to the end of the 12th month, but he will only say it for 11 months. Biyom akfura, yan right yud bet chodashim biyom akfura yan ki hashanah mu'beret v'yesh deya achat ki b'shanah mu'beret omer kaddish yud bet chodesh. And there is an opinion, this fellow says, that on a leap year you do say it for 12 months. The aftlo nagu, and even though people don't do this, mikol makom ya'an kilo mar chodesh shalem, because he missed a whole month, al kopanim b'shanah mu'beret yachol hashlim a chodesh achaser. Can he say it for this extra month, which means the extra month during the leap year? What is the nature of this month, and can he say it to make up? So first of all, again, you realize the guilt, and you realize again, within the question, he missed the month, and he wants to say kaddish for. You're popular, that's all. Shouldn't give away your phone number. Yeah, so, my rabbis in training, how would you answer this question?
If it wasn't be a leap
year,
and he missed the month, I don't think he would even ask that question if he couldn't continue another month, because it would be like enough after the onset. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he's asking it only because it is a leap year. And even though he said, you still say it 11 years, so it's like he's saying,
but
it's just like, okay, they gave you a month less, but it's not like so real, so maybe I could add that extra month.
That only works if you found out exactly a month after he died. But if he found out 2 months after.
Yeah, but you notice what he did along the way within the question? He said, and there are those who say kaddish for 12 months in a leap year.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Where did he get that from? Yeah, so that again is this fictitious opinion that doesn't really exist. That I told you, it keeps coming up, and it doesn't really exist. Let's take a look. Yeah? Then you would say, then you would say it for 12 months. The Vilna Gaon's father asked him to say it for 12 months. And I know of others who have as well. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says 11 months, they said that exact thing. I know, I want you to say it for full 12 months. I've heard many people said it. Look, the whole thing is out of the honor of the parents. If the parents say, I want you to say it, so now what's the honor of the parents? Is to listen to what they say? You could, but you have a problem over here. He wants to say it. If he's going to say it for 12, he's going to say it for 11 months. Okay. Okay. The problem is going to be is that the last month he's going to say it, it's already after Yud Bet Chodesh. Let's take a look at the answer. Vashiv tchila al sfikuto, or rishon, divadai lo yamoyotem yud alav chodeshim, kemuvora beramos, imenshinan vev, shalo yasev av kibit rishayim. You don't say Kaddish more than 11 months, you don't want to make your parents look like they're wicked. Va'af im lo amar Kaddish klal, is yamim o shivot, we call makom lo ishlam azman, v'lo yamoyotem yud alav chodeshim, which means you don't say Kaddish after the beginning of the 11th month. That's what that even says. Sfaradim, by the way, have a different custom over here. Leave that. Va'ain beramos sham shekatav Shiva u'shalshim inin kaddish moni miyom hakfura. When it comes to how long you say kaddish, that is from the Rama tells us it's not from yom haptira, but it's from yom hakfura. Af shalosh shema ha'avil miyad v'imken gamla, even though if you didn't hear right away, v'imken gamla inin yirah alav chodesh kain af shalosh mikom makom ein lo lomi yoter mi yirah alav chodesh dezil bater tama kadesh shalosh yasaviv avotav kirishaim va'af below mar tchila. And that opinion that you say it for 12 months, in the 12th month, in a leap year, remember? Maybe your memory has played tricks on you. Yud Aleph Katav B'Shanam Uberet Nami Eino Noheg Avilut Rak Yud Bet Chodesh Uvetaz Shemivisha Yesh Anashim Noegim Ktzat Avilut Gam B'Chodesh Yud Gimel. Remember that Taz? He said there are some people who do it. Ve'ein Tam L'Dorash Zeh V'Hu Min Hag Batel V'Zeh Hata'ut Matzinu Dafka Ba'Avilut Avalo Le'inin Kaddish Lam Yud Bet Chodesh. He says, I have no idea what you're talking about. If what you remember, you have this vague memory that there are people that do it. Yeah, the Taz quoted this, and he says it's wrong. So, and by the way, again, I'll tell you again and again, you find this question coming up in Shelot and Shuvot, people bringing up this thing, well, maybe in the leap year, should have Avilut the last month, and then the post can keep answering, no, there's no source for that. So let's just conclude for today. We've seen, again, very simply, based upon the Ravya, he pointed it out. Theoretically, it was an obvious point that even though no one said it earlier, everyone would agree. And what's that point? That Avelut is not a year. Avelut is Yud Bet Chodesh. How do you count Yud Bet Chodesh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. At that point, it's done. In a leap year, you will notice that there are 13 months. So therefore, many people will have this question this year and say, hold it, is it till the Yortzeit or not the Yortzeit, Yom Kippur or not Yom Kippur, and what's the answer going to be? That the Avelut of Shiva is over by Miktzat Hayom of the Shiva, Avelut of Shloshim is over by Miktzat Hayom of the Shloshim, Avelut of Yud Bet Chodesh is over when? On Yud Bet Chodesh. Yud Bet Chodesh or Yud Bet Chodesh V'Yom Echad? What's the answer? So that was really how the Truman Hadeshin lured us in to that whole question. Was it one day, or was it Yud Bet Chodesh, Yud Bet Vechad? And he said, well, if it's very next day, so anyway you're going to have Dine Avelut, so therefore it should continue as well. But that's where we saw the Bach, or the Taz, coming in and telling us, well, that's only if it's consecutive, but once it gets broken, because it is only 12 months, once it gets broken, so then it's going to be different. What about the question of going to the wedding? So there we saw that anyway the Rama says you don't go to a wedding, you don't even go to the wedding the night before, or you don't eat by the wedding. What did we see by the Lavush? That's very nice. The Rama says that's the custom. I've never seen a custom like this. The Rama lived in Krakow. Lavush, I have to think a second where he lived. I didn't get to it yet, but I'm going to bring you some more customs of the Rama. Still back about washing. I didn't finish all that yet. But there's some interesting things that the Rama says that was his custom in Krakow, which you would say, hold it a second, I'll just give you one of them, for example. What is your custom to do on Friday night or Shabbos morning? You wash for Motzi first, or you say Kiddush first? Okay, you wash first? Good. So everybody, the knee-jerk reaction is, it's a Yekka thing. So again, the Rama lived in Krakow. He writes, I've heard that there are people who make Kiddush, right, before they wash, but I've never seen it. Okay? The Rama says this. The Rama, he lives in Krakow. Now, why don't people know this? Because he didn't write it in the Rama. He wrote it in his commentary to the Torah. So again, there are certain customs that, you know, have a certain fluidity to them, and just because we're going to accuse her of having a Yeki Minhug, and we're going to question her, and we're going to question her lineage, or her husband's lineage, but the customs sometimes have an interesting way of moving or traveling from place to place. Regarding the Yom HaKfurah, or the Yortzeit of being in the Yom HaPtirah in the first year, there we saw the Mishnah Berurah actually bringing two opinions. The general opinion is again, leave the question of the leap year. It's generally then going to be on, the first year will be on the Yom HaKfurah. Now you'll tell me why. Because that's the day that Yud Bet Chodesh will be up. So therefore the first year you would keep the Yom HaKfurah because that's the day that Yud Bet Chodesh is up. But what are you going to say to somebody who will say, which opinion should I follow, the Yortzeit or the Yom HaKfurah in a leap year? So at that point, I would say, okay, go back to the Yortzeit, because it's not a question of finishing the Yud Bet Chodesh. Yud Bet Chodesh already over. Okay? Now you're ready to be rabbis.